If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and be going to the book of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And we'll take for a reading a large chunk here out of the text. We'll begin reading at verse 5 and we'll go down to verse 25. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. Verse 8 says, and there was great joy in that city, but there was a certain man called Simon. This is who we want to look at today. Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. This evening we want to look at the subject of Simon the sorcerer. As I promised, we would come back to look more closely about this individual. And as we have looked at this text, this passage has a lot that has gone on here. We saw the preaching of Philip. And we've looked at the organization of the church there at Samaria, the apostles as they came down from Jerusalem. But it's important to look there at verse 9, because the Holy Spirit calls him out. There was a certain man called Simon, which was before in the same city. Excuse me. Which before time, rather, in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Here was the Simon in this place where Philip was preaching, and he had given himself out that he was of some great one. Don't we run into people like that in our time? Perhaps not sorcerers, but we do run into people who think themselves to be great. People inside churches and outside churches, they think themselves to be something else, don't they? And Simon and others like him are as bad as they are clever. And we must be careful that we don't fall for them, that we don't follow after them blindly. Even guys like Paul, as great of an individual as he was careful to tell the people, follow me as I follow Christ, you see. Because we know that even the great men of God sometimes will falter, sometimes will fall, sometimes will do things that aren't right. And so we don't blindly follow any man. And as we think about others, we ourselves must guard against pride in our own lives. Because even though we may not be great, sometimes we might even begin to think that we ourselves are greater than what we really are. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We are told not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, that we're to present ourselves living sacrifice. You see, it's all about God. And grace is the theme. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor, meaning that we don't deserve it. Whatever we have is more than what we deserve. We don't deserve anything. And Paul, as he wrote this to those believers at Rome, he practiced what he preached. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Paul had a lot he could have bragged about, a lot that he could have been prideful over. Whether it was his upbringing, his education, his genealogy, he could have bragged about the things that he had been given, the revelations, his calling. But no, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And so it is with the people of God. Regardless of where you are in life, how much you know, what your status is, how much money's in your pocket, all of those things. Regardless of all of those things, who your mommy is or your daddy, we have nothing to brag about. It's all of grace. But we look at the life of Simon the sorcerer, and what we know from Acts chapter 8. And what we find here is that he knew nothing of the grace of God, nor did he know about humility. Notice there in our text in Acts chapter 8. In Acts 8, beginning at verse 9, he says, "But there was a certain man called Simon, who before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done." This Simon, he professed to be converted. And for a while, he tricked even Philip, for he was baptized. He walked among them. This text and others like it is a reminder that not everything that names the name of Jesus is truly born again. Remember, in the first church at Jerusalem, there was one among them too. His name was Judas Iscariot. He was also a false convert. We're reminded that even though a church can have everything right, the message can be right. I mean, how much more right can you get than to have Jesus Christ preaching and teaching? And there was Judas sitting under those messages, watching, observing all of those things, never being born again. And over in the book of James chapter 2, in James chapter 2, verse 19, " Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils believe in God. They believe in the God of the Bible. They believe in Jesus Christ. But they're not born again. You see. They're not converted. But unlike the devils, there's still hope for those who are lost, even those who maybe have their names on a church roll. Sometimes the pastor or the visiting preacher might come in a church building and preach a gospel message. And somebody will say, why are you preaching the gospel inside the church building when the gospel message needs to be preached out there? And it's a fact, the gospel message does need to be preached out there. But also, there may be some inside the church building who needs to hear the gospel message. And it's a sad fact, but there are churches that go for years and never hear a gospel message preached. But let me tell you, even if you are saved, even if you are born again, it ought to thrill your soul to hear a gospel message. And you ought not to be upset if somebody preaches a gospel message inside the church building. It ought to thrill you. And you ought to pray that God will use it if there be someone in your midst who is like Judas or like Simon, who's on the roll even, who doesn't know the Lord. Because let me tell you, as much as we try to prevent a lost person from joining a church, sometimes they'll come in. False professions are real, if that makes sense. And what I mean by that is false professions really do happen sometimes. But look at what was going on there in Acts chapter 8. And Simon joined in among that group there. In Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 14 there, it says, now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, I'll not take a lot of time dealing with these verses because I've dealt with these in previous sermon before. But understand that this was special for that time. This was not salvation. These folks were saved already, except for Simon. And Simon wasn't included in this, as we'll see in just a little bit. The Holy Spirit falling down upon them. It wasn't sanctification. If you go back to Acts chapter 2, in the day of Pentecost there, we saw some things happening there. Verse 14, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. What was going on? Well, this was the accreditation of certain of God's people as the Spirit of God would select them to empower some of them to do great miracles as they overcome obstacles in the way of the propagation of the gospel. As some things started happening in this period of time. You see, the Holy Spirit was moving in a way that had never been done before. The Shekinah glory that was shown in the Old Testament, in the old way of doing things, was now going into, in and through His church. And this had to be seen in a great way. Well, and it was seen by saved and unsaved alike. In Acts 8, verse 18, it says, And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Simon's there, and I mean, he's a lover of magic. He's a lover of tricking people. He's a lover of being a big name among the people. And so Simon sees all this and he says, Wow, this is great. And dollar signs start flashing in front of his eyes. And so he says, Hey, Peter, John, let me have this power. Let me have this. I want this. I want this. Let me have that. Give it to me. You see, there had never been a change in his heart. But he was ready to change the title, if you will, so he could keep up with the change that was happening to his neighbors. Listen, friends, I know you don't like sorcery no more. You're following Peter and John and Philip. Y'all are a bunch of Christians. And guess what? So am I. I'm one of you all. And I can do what they do. Follow me. He wanted that big name for himself. Still. And he's thinking how he can keep that big name for himself to further his business. And hasn't that happened time and time again throughout history? Watch it now. Watch it. Sometimes you dig deep enough, you go back far enough. Some of these holidays and things like that, you won't find it in the New Testament. You won't find it in the Scriptures. So where'd it come from? It originates with some other tradition, some other idea, some other religion. Look there in verse 19 or verse 20. Peter's response. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Peter's response to Simon reveals what Peter saw in this man. Notice carefully what Peter says to him. Because words do mean things. Peter says, Simon, thy money perish with thee. Thy money perish with thee. Oh, that should fill our hearts with dread to think about that. Isaiah read it on Sunday. What's the scripture say in John chapter 3 and verse 16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those who truly believe will not perish, but Simon, thy money perish with thee. You're on the wrong road, son. That's what he's saying to Simon. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This money's going to perish, but I'm not. I'm not. Why? Is it because I'm some great one? No. It's because of the Lord and what he has done for me, you see. What he did on the cross. Jesus is great. Jesus is the hero, not me. When a person is saved, there is a change. There's a difference. If you're saved today, you know that's true. And even if you haven't been saved and you've heard me preach long enough or you've been around sound preaching, you know it's true just from the preaching of God's Word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, therefore, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a change. There's a difference. Now, I'm not saying that somebody who's saved, like if a person is saved today, there's not going to be an immediate turnaround. There's some things that a person is taught. There's growth that happens. There's what we call progressive sanctification. But there will be at least a marked difference a babe in Christ, though he's still a babe, is different than a person who is lost. You understand what I'm saying? Simon did not show such a change. He did not experience it. He did not live it. So Peter declares the heart of Simon to be unchanged and wicked. If you go there in Acts chapter 8, look at the wording he uses there. The latter part of verse 21, he says, "Thy heart is not right in the sight of God." There in verse 21, at the beginning of the verse, he says, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter." Peter declared that Simon had no part in salvation or the reception of the Holy Spirit. And Peter further calls on him to repent. That's what he needed. That's what he needed. Now, John Calvin somehow assumes in this text that Simon did repent. But I don't see it here. The fact is the human emotion does run deep in such situations. And I can understand why Calvin and others maybe might want to think that Simon would have repented. We would hope that he would have. We want to believe that everyone who professes Christ is really saved, even when there's no evidence to show for it. And this is the reason I believe why that when we look at American Christianity, a lot of times the church roles are so much bigger than the actual number of individuals who come to church. Because a lot of times, church roles are filled up with people who have at one time come, made a profession, gotten wet in the baptistry, and then never seen again. And yet, because of the emotion that goes with it, their names remain on the roll. And to what end? To what end? I can't speak for everyone, nor can I speak for every church. But a lot of times I fear that we've only encouraged and given false hope to unregenerate men and women who have made false profession. And they feel good about themselves because they have their name on a roll. And so when somebody comes and knocks on their door, talks to them at work, tries to witness to them, and they talk to them about Jesus, what's their answer? "I'm a member of such and such Baptist church." Watch out for that. Because that's not the question. It's not the answer. Being a member of a church will not save you. It won't get you into heaven. It won't get you to heaven. And this is what Peter did that day, is some hard kind of talking, some hard kind of preaching, if you want to talk of it that way. And in some circles would have gotten him into a lot of trouble these days. But this is the sort of thing that is needful. And what we need today is this kind of thing, because guess what? One of these days, reality is going to sink in. We're all going to have to stand before the Lord. And what will it be for those who have made false profession? What would it be for Simon if he would have just kept on as a member of the church of Samaria? He would have someday gotten to the grave, to the Lord, to stand before Him. And you know what would have happened if he would have never come to know Him in this lifetime? Well, I can tell you by the authority of the Word of God what would have happened in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Begin at verse 21. It says, Jesus said here, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, he was interested in making a name out of it all for himself. And had he gotten it, had Peter not said a thing, and they just let him go, on judgment day, he would have said, "Lord, I've done lots of good things in your name." Jesus would have said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You see, better to hear the hard truth now than to hear it then, is what I'm trying to say. Better to have your heart searched now. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. In Titus 1 and verse 16, the scripture says, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate." This is the kind of truth that the world needs. And so when you run into people who say, "Well, I'm a member of such and such church," don't just leave them and assume that they know the Lord. Quiz them about it. Ask them, "How is your relationship with Jesus? Tell me about it." It is not loving to hide the truth from such men. When we run into them, when we work with them, when we get close to them and we see their lives and we understand what's going on, kind of the way that Peter did. He understood what was happening with Simon. It's not loving to hide these truths from them. In Leviticus chapter 19... in verse 17, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." It's loving to tell the truth even whenever it does hurt people's feelings. We do it in love. Yes, but we must tell the truth. We encourage sin by withholding rebuke. Indeed, a church may even give false hope to a lost individual if we keep their name on the roll when they've clearly shown no interest in the things of God. We look at Simon and what happened there. What a sad thing that was there. In Acts chapter 8, Peter called on him to repent. Certainly that's what needs to happen. In Acts chapter 8, verse 24, "Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." Peter had called on him to repent. And actually, he said, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." But Simon didn't repent, did he? He didn't pray either. What he did, instead of going straight to God, he went to Peter. Now, I know there's some religions that will tell you that you've got to go through a man. Some will even tell you that Peter was such a man like that. That Peter was a pope. And that Peter would have encouraged such a behavior. But that's not the truth. You see, the Bible tells us that our relationship with Jesus doesn't need any earthly mediator. That we go to God by way of Jesus Christ, and that's it. That's it. But Simon, at least at this point in time, he wasn't interested in repentance. He was only interested that he should escape judgment. How sad is that? It's a blessing that we don't fear judgment as far as that goes because of what Jesus has done for us. But Christianity is so much more than just a fire escape. That there's so much more to being a Christian than escaping judgment and escaping hell. But for some in this world, that's all they're interested in. Let me escape hell and I'll live the way I want to live, and that's all I'm interested in. So many are like that. So many are like that. If that's all your Christianity is to you today, you better evaluate it. You better go back and check this the whole thing out. You need to repent and believe the gospel and be saved. Understand something. We ought to be considering these things and looking at this and making our calling and election sure as well. In verse 25. Kind of bring this to a close here. "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." The apostles went back to Jerusalem. That's where they'd been. That's where their main calling was, Jerusalem. But on the way back, they preached. They saw some great things that happened in Samaria. Many people were saved and baptized. The church was organized. There's great things to be happy about. What a reminder that the work is never done. That's what people need, is the gospel. The only hope that the people in Samaria had was Jesus Christ. The only hope that the people in the villages had was Jesus Christ. The only hope that America has is Jesus Christ. The only hope that you've got, that I've got, is Jesus. That message never gets old. That message is never done. May God give us that kind of zeal to carry it on, even to those who maybe tell us, I've been a member over at that church for 20, 30 years, whatever. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about where you're at with the Lord. Let's talk about how your relationship is with Jesus. Let's talk about salvation. Let's talk about the gospel. That's where your hope's at. Name on the roll won't do it. Oh, it's true. Once you're saved, you better be in church. But if you've never been saved, if you've not come to know the Lord, being baptized, joining the church, it's not going to do it. Wasn't enough for Simon. And praise God, Peter was bold enough to speak up. May God give us that kind of boldness for the truth as well. Thank you for your attention to God's word. Let's go ahead and close with a season of prayer.